I thought it was beautiful. I do like port finished whiskeys. I'm not sure the last time I saw a bourbon hogshead, which they claim they age in. We don't really use a lot of hogsheads in the U.S., but they claim that this was matured in a bourbon hogshead.
They
take the casks apart and rebuild them to hogshead
size. Yeah, you don't do hogsheads here. What they do is they take the barrels apart, and then they just use bigger rings, add some extra staves.
Yeah.
So it's
bigger than a standard bourbon barrel.
It's basically a bourbon barrel with extra staves added. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that for...
Because not everybody uses intact barrels because it's more expensive. They take the barrels apart and ship them.
Yeah, a lot of them, they ship them flat. Yeah. But again, a lovely whiskey, beautiful finish, well-balanced, nice. I wish I had a little bit more just to kind of get a good feel for it. But from what I did try, I thought we had a tiny sample, but I thought it was beautifully made. And I think Brent nailed it on the description. So thank you, Brent.
Oh, thank you.
Justin?
So on this one, I got like marzipan, kind of a waxy nose. I got like smell of like a burning kerosene lamp. On the palate, I got heat and then port with like creme brulee.
I got to stop you right there. There's nothing in that description that makes me want to drink this.
Burning, I like the smell of the kerosene lamp.
No, that mineral smell is actually nice, but that's not in this glass. I don't know. His glass must be tainted.
He likes to smell the gas tank of the car in the summer, so, you know, he's a little special.
No, I understand what he means with burning kerosene lamp. That's actually a nice smell.
Yeah,
it's a nice smell. Reminds me of camping.
Yeah.
But I don't get it in this glass.
Your mom locking you in the closet is not camping. She just doesn't like you.
It's not.
No.
Let me tell you, when I came out of the closet.
Him, not you, but you too. Yeah. All right.
She said, I'm sick of you. Let's go camping. And then she let me out the next day. What's wrong with that?
I think it's delicious. It's got honey blossoms and fruitcake, like he said, on the nose.
The fruitcake for sure.
Yeah. I got a bit of dusty oak at first, too, when we first poured it.
Stewed plums, dark brown sugar.
Nobody got apples and pears on the palate? Spice first, then apples and pears.
Yeah, spice, but maybe some pear.
Right, that spice is the first thing to hit you.
Yeah.
Very first thing, yeah.
All right, well, we're going to give the 80 Rattray Cask Finish 16-year-old Tinninnic Cask Port Finish a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's a lot of fours today. Really good.
Yeah, that can't be. Oh, the scotch at fours we'll can't be right. Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we were discussing some of the whiskeys from 80 Rattray, so we're on to our next one, and that one is the 80 Rattray Cask Finish 14-Year Nocdu, which is a Muscatel cask finish. It's 53% ABV, 106 proof. This single cask of Nocdu, which is also known as Anik, was matured in an ex-bourbon hogshead for over 12 years and then finished in a Muscatel wine barrique for 20 months. So on the palate, it's...
That's a lot of Muscatel, man.
Oh, yeah.
20 months.
Go get Grady. Go get me a bottle of Muscatel. Yeah. I miss Sanford and Son. That was the greatest show ever. It's got a slightly reddish tinge to it. Sort of a coppery gold. On the nose, it's vanilla custard and burnt sugar and dark toffee. Just sweet.
Absolutely right, dude. Absolutely right.
And then on the palate, on the palate, surprisingly not as sweet as the nose, but there's a big mocha on this, especially on the exhale. Dark chocolate. Yummy. What'd you think, Arm?
I got you were the same as vanilla. I got creme brulee. If you taken some good creme brulee and then poured some caramel on it,
yeah,
this smells amazing. I could just smell this all day. A hint of butterscotch coming out, a little bit of cake. It's so creamy on the nose, but then you taste it. That's what was a little bit off for me.
It was different.
It
was different than the nose.
The creaminess on the nose doesn't follow on the palate. It came out for a little bit hot and a little bit lighter than I expected it to be.
Well, on the palate, everything was front forward to me.
Yeah,
it's very front. So it was very front forward, and that's
butterscotch and caramel on the front.
Yeah,
it's spice on the middle, but nothing on the back.
Yeah, right. Nothing on the back at all. You know,
it's kind of weird. It's really good. I love. I mean, I would just give it a great review just for the nose, but it doesn't quite match.
Yeah, I had like a sweet cherry vanilla on the nose. This is what it's just kind of that nose kind of
cherry.
All front forward, dark fruit, some spices, light. It was nice. I
think the problem is
the nose is better than the palate.
Like Harm said, you are set up to think something great's coming on the nose. The nose was amazing, and the palate, in comparison to the nose, was a letdown.
Just a little bit of letdown. Yeah. And it tastes hotter than it should be too. It tastes a little.
And
bit
not
hotter.
That the I mean, if the palate was if it was full palate at that flavor, it would be fine as well. It's
freaking
just
amazing.
It's just. Completely different, you know, than the nose.
Yeah, I know they're trying to balance the Muscatel. But 20 months seems like a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe if they left it for 24, we get the rest of the palate.
Who knows? They went too far.
You think they went too far?
I think 20 months of Muscatel being a strong flavor might be long. Remember, the last one was only 12.
But we're just missing some of the back palate. That's all.
Yeah.
Justin, what do you think?
I got lemon curd on the nose, pears. The palate.
I got pears on the last one. Okay, go ahead.
I did get bitter note on the back palate.
Really?
It was sweet in the mid palate, and the finish was sweet.
I got sweet front, spicy middle. But
it was fun. It was just the Muscatel is too strong for me.
Is it? Okay. So you guys think it didn't get enough? You guys think it got too much time? I think maybe could have used a little bit more.
No, I think not too much.
All right.
I'm leaning your way. I think if it got a little more, the back palate might have come in.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. But who knows? I mean, it's...
We don't make the whiskey. We just drink it and tell you about it.
It's a crapshoot when you're cast finishing. You know, that's the thing. You got to make that judgment call. And sometimes you call early. Sometimes you call too late. Sometimes you call right on.
So. I had some really good wine finished bourbon the other day. We're not talking about it on this show, but I'll tell you about it later. So some good stuff coming out these days.
Well, we're going to give the AD Retre cast finish 14-year-old Noctu Muscatel finish a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
So that's going to take us to...
I would have given it 4 just for the nose, but it didn't come through.
Yeah. And again, it's if somebody brought a bottle of it to the house, I'd sure as hell drink it.
Yeah.
So we're going to have Justin tell us about our next whiskey.
So now we're going to talk about AD Rattray Cask Finish 11-Year Glen Rothies Cask 166 Sherry Cask. It's a healthy 65.9% alcohol by volume or 131.8 proof. This single cask of Glenrothes was aged 11 years in a sherry butt, and I love a big butt, I cannot lie. The color of this was yellow. On the nose, I got like an almond croissant, no hint of the big, bold proof to come. On the palate, I got like full, wide bandwidth, orange marmalade cake. On the finish... That's where the proof comes out. Really long, luscious, beautiful heat. What did you think, Harmeet?
I'd have to disagree with you on this one. And I we talked about the ratings when we were writing our reviews. I have to disagree with everyone on this one. I'm the one who did not like this whiskey. Everybody else seemed to like this whiskey. To me, I'm getting a hint of sulfur on the nose and a little bit of musty oak. And on the palate especially, it's a spice bomb at first, and there's vanilla. And that orange marmalade he's talking about is there, but underneath it's covered up by a little bit of funky, musty oak for me.
I'm the only one at the table that's sensitive
to this stuff. I mean, I can smell.
You're getting a preview of your next reincarnation.
Nah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
He was used to sulfurous things where he came from.
But I'm using sulfur in
Transylvania.
I'm very sensitive to TCA as well. I'm sensitive to some of these off things in wine. And I'm just getting that this barrel to me just does not taste great.
Are you sensitive to LMNOP? I'm just wondering.
No, so,
WXIZ?
No.
Yeah, I got on the nose, I got Angel Food Cake. That's what came out.
I mean, that's all I'm huge.
The cake is just like, it's a hint of sulfur there first to me.
It just popped out. Angel Food Cake just like popped out to me right away. It was, you know, on the palate, it was just this huge spice bomb right on the front of the palate. And then it's musty oak. And then it went, and then it just kind of lingered off, and you got that Angel Food Cake, and then your finish just lingered on and on and on. This was one of the nicer ones that we've had.
Angel Food Cake. This does not taste like Angel
Food Cake. I'm vanilla cake on the nose, white flowers on the nose, and then the palate, just sweet oak, molasses, kind of burnt toffee. I get the citrus undertone underneath all of that. And then just heavy baking spice, spice bomb.
You guys
up front.
All loved it. I do not like this.
I think
this
Bob's spot on with the description. I mean, I couldn't have said it any better than that.
Hold on. Let me rewind the tape. I got to save that.
Love the smell of napalm
right
in the morning.
Oh, once. Well, it does happen once.
Yeah, I won't let it happen.
Again, on a scale of right to wrong, you guys are all wrong. There you go.
Well, we're going to give, in spite of you, we're going to give the 80 Rattray cask finish 11-year Glenrothes sherry cask finish a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that's going to take us to our next one. We're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Why, thank you, Bob. The next whiskey is Last Drop, release number 32, signature 32-year-old single malt Irish whiskey. It's 46.4% ABV or 92.8 proof for Justin and those of you who are math challenged.
But I know a third of it.
This is the third signature creation from The Last Drop, a 32-year-old single malt Irish whiskey. This release marks The Last Drop Distiller's first release in the Irish whiskey category. The story behind this signature creation began when Rebecca Jago, managing director of The Last Drop Distillers, Louise McGuane, and Helen Mulholland, master blender of the Low Gill Distillery and a legendary figure in Irish whiskey, convened at the McGuane family farm in Coraclare to taste a range.
We weren't helping you with that one.
No, I'm not helping.
Of exceptionally rare Irish whiskeys from J.J. Corey's Library of Flavors. Wow. A selection from this flavor library was chosen as the final array of vintage 1991 single malt whiskeys for this release before they were married and placed into an ex Oloroso butt for finishing. Release size 663 bottles.
For the world. Yeah.
For the world. We get a lot of special releases like that in Florida, but less than 1,000 bottles all the time.
The color, light copper, nose, definitely getting some dried fruit, cinnamon, sugar.
I got apricots.
You're absolutely right. There are some apricots, hint of raisin. On the palate, toasted almonds, raisin, dark chocolate, creaminess, viscosity, mouth coating. The finish, there's some fruit cake, there's some raisin, there's some nuts, and then it just sort of slides on to oblivion. I thought this whiskey was lovely. This is an all-day sipper. None of us here are huge Irish whiskey fans, but this could take a non-Irish whiskey drinker.
I am now.
Exactly. This is an Irish whiskey for anybody. This is really pretty fantastic.
Anybody who can afford it.
Well, I'm not talking about the price. I mean, I'm sure it's astronomical at 32 years old with a high Angel share, but it's phenomenal.
One thing I got on the nose that was kind of unusual is I got some butterscotch, which I would never think to get on Irish whiskey.
But
you nailed it with the tasting notes, the creaminess and the mouthfeel of this, when you think of an Irish whiskey, it just doesn't taste like your typical Irish whiskey.
No, people get The Irish whiskeys we drink in this country tend to be blends.
Right.
This is going to be single malts.
Yes.
So that's the thing. Single malt Irish whiskey is a different category. They're so great.
It's real whiskey.
Right.
Well, we don't get a lot of single malt Irish whiskeys here.
I sell a lot of them. Come on. You got to go to right shops.
Justin?
I'd go there, but it's too expensive.
This is a serious Irish whiskey. I'm not very familiar with the single malt category of Irish whiskey. I've had my share of Jameson and everything.
You come by the store, I'll pour you a bunch.
On the nose, I got potpourri, pears, apples. On the palate, I got like strong apricots, gentle caressing wood. The finish, bitterness, raisins. I could live in this dram all day.
Yeah, I think it's probably the best Irish whiskey I've had, and I've had some really amazing ones.
Mm-hmm. This is really good.
Buffalo Trace with this Last Drop series.
They do really good expressions
most of the time, and this is one of their really good expressions. I see why they picked it.
I can't thank Rebecca Jago enough because from the day I met her, she's always been very generous with sending us samples. I mean, very few of these go out to the media. Very, very few. You don't see a lot of people talking about Last Drop because, quite honestly, they don't need to.
It's unobtainium.
Yeah.
It's frankly unobtainium.
But she's such a lovely lady, and she's always been very great about sharing stuff with us. And this one is just off the chain amazing. It's just on the palate. It's almonds and raisins. Oh, so good. Well, we're going to be rating the Last Drop, release number 32.
Last Drop.
32-year-old single malt Irish whiskey, a well-deserved 5 cents.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And it's 5 because we don't have a 6. So that takes us to our last one, which is the Last Drop release number 33, 40-year-old 15th anniversary blended Scotch whiskey. So they Last Drop celebrated their 15th anniversary in 23, and they were founded in 2008 by James Espy and Tom Jago. One of those guys was the guy behind Bailey's Irish Cream, which sold their billionth bottle, I think, a couple of years ago. So,
billion?
Yeah, billion.
Wow.
So they marked this milestone with the release of a limited bottling of a 40-year-old blended Scotch whiskey created for the occasion by their master blender, Colin J.P. Scott. Some of the grain whiskey in this blend was distilled at North Scotland Distillery, the smallest grain distillery in Scotland, which closed back in 1980.
I thought it was called North British. It's north of Scotland. Is it a different one?
Yeah.
Okay.
In its day, North of Scotland was thought to be one of the more flavorsome grain whiskeys around. So this one's 47.1% ABV, 845 bottles for the planet. On the nose, it's apricots and honey and a lovely vanilla. And on the palate, the apricots come through. Huge almond extract. Almond essence, call it what you will, but the almond is just there.
Marzipan, baby.
Marzipan. And then I have to agree with their on the finish, vanilla ice cream. I have to agree with their tasting notes. It's so there. What do you think, Arm?
I got to meet James Espy back in 2011 when he came to Florida. I got to taste his first release, the 1960. It was over 50 years old at that time. That's the best thing I've tasted forever. And that's gone.
Yeah.
This is close, but not quite as good. But, oh, my God. If you can get this. What you said is right.
If you're in a whiskey bar and they have it available for a taste, spend the money. You can't go wrong with anything from Last Drop. We've had some amazing stuff from them over the years. But this
I've never seen it in a restaurant. Have you?
Yeah. They have it at Warren.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably the only place on the planet, though.
Well,
there's a couple places in Orlando too.
No, I know quite a few whiskey bars in Kentucky that have it.
Really?
Yeah. What do you think, Brent?
This, I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm thinking 40 years old. Okay.
It can be too old, right?
Right.
Old
and tired. Exactly. You know, you're thinking 2% a year you're losing. What is left in the barrel, you know, at this point in time? But what was left in the barrel was delicious. All their tasting notes, all the things you have, is a great expression. I loved it. This would make somebody that likes bourbon drink scotch. But they have that other kind of scotch too. So
that's the kind I like.
Justin, you got anything to add before we close out?
Sure. Since I started this show, I discovered grain whiskey. And oh my God, it's a great one.
Well, it's not a grain whiskey. It just has some in it, but we'll go with that. So we're going to be giving the Last Drop Distillers release number 33, 40-year-old 15th anniversary blended scotch whiskey again. It's only getting five because we don't have six. Jesus, that's good.
It really improved as it sat in the glass.
Yeah.
It just got better and better.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-host for joining us. Thank you, Brent.
Another Scotch episode in their books. Thank you.
And you liked it.
Every one of them.
Wow.
Every one of them I liked.
And thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another spectacular day in the damp, dark basement.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Bob. Really a privilege to be here. Thank you.
And thank you, Harm.
Thank you, Bob. And I mean it this time. I'm wearing my I'm here for the Scotch t-shirt today.
Well, you were definitely here for some Scotch today. Well, for Sip, Sed, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. Thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey. Unfortunately, for this show, we didn't really have to do that. So,
not a single one.
Even though it's called Scotch, it's amazing.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.